some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like.
Welcome to another edition of the Minnesota Beercast. I am Drew. That's my co-host, Schmitty.
Hey, hey.
We are thrilled to be recording this episode at our good friends at Cigar Jones.
Yeah, thanks to Cigar Jones for hosting us.
It makes me a nice little swanky little environment they set us up in. We've got some cigars. We've got some whiskey. We're going to talk cigars on today's show. Cigar Jones has a really cool event coming up that we'll tell you all about coming up in the next couple of segments. But let's not waste any time with our first guest.
Yeah, let's get into some whiskey with Brother Justice. Let's get into it. Tell us, well, first introduce yourself.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. My name is James Jefferson. I'm the head distiller over at Brother Justice Whiskey Company.
So just the name Brother Justice, how'd you come up with that?
Yeah, that's a great question we get a lot. So Brother Justice was a real person from Minnesota back during Prohibition. So some of you may have heard of Minnesota 13, mm-hmm. the fabled whiskey of Minnesota's Prohibition past. And the figure that gets overlooked often was a guy named Brother Justice, who was the blacksmith monk who built the copper stills, smuggled them out to farmers' farms, and taught them how to make whiskey. They taught them the monastic arts of distillation.
So it was a monk who was taking part in, really, undermining the government's best efforts stop our freedom.
They're all around the world. Monks and spirits have gone together.
God bless them.
You know, they answer to a higher calling than the
that's
government.
Right, that's
exactly.
Right. And they were Benedictine Catholics. And if you know many Benedictines, they have a very interesting relationship with alcohol. They're basically drunken monks.
I like it.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, well, and you know, by smuggling these stills off to their farms, he probably broke like 9 felonies all in one time. But they viewed spirits and alcohol during Prohibition as kind of your God-given right. It may have been illegal, but it wasn't immoral.
They answered to a higher calling.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
It was with their help that those farmers made some of the best whiskey in the entire country from right here in Minnesota.
Yeah, it was really kind of renowned. The Minnesota 13 was, you know, if you walked into a place in Chicago or in New York, there was even, you know, counterfeit kind of, you know, people would say it was Minnesota 13,
that's right.
But it was kind of
like Cuban cigars now.
Yeah, it's counterfeit, yeah. You know. Granted, the product itself wasn't necessarily legit, but there was, you know, this is the Minnesota 13.
It had a cult following.
Yeah, how would you ever prove that it was or was not?
Yeah,
right?
There's because even stories of bars in Scotland and Paris during that time advertising that they had Minnesota 13 to pour, which shows that it had a reputation. When people heard the word Minnesota, they thought, hey, that's where great whiskey comes from. So we took on the name Brother Justice because it's a story that deserves to be shared, and Minnesota deserves to be in the conversation of places where great spirits are made, because we have amazing resources, amazing talent and quality and craft-minded people ready to make it.
That's really neat. I always heard the story about Minnesota 13, but I had never heard the story about Brother Justice.
Yeah, there's like one paragraph in the book with like one picture of him. And so it's been an oral history for so long that we actually had to go and find people. We had to go and find like a guy named Lawrence Treadle, the oldest living relative, the only relative alive that remembers actually meeting him, a 90-year-old guy from way up north, and just sit these people down and have them tell us their stories and try and get a picture of who Brother Justice was.
That's really neat.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, it's a really cool story. So it's just a chance for us to share and remind Minnesota that we actually have a really rich spirits history and culture. It's just an illegal one. After Prohibition ended, the farmers just went back to farming. They weren't gangsters. They just said, oh, the price of corn has gone back up. Let's just go back to being farmers. And Minnesota kind of missed its chance to be on the whiskey map. We could have been known as Kentucky or Tennessee.
So the corn that kind of made that product famous, the Minnesota 13, it's a specific variety, is that correct?
Yeah, it's a strain that was developed at the University of Minnesota right before Prohibition.
And some of that is still in production, am I correct in assuming that? Or is
some distilleries have been getting it grown specifically for them. I'm not sure the range of it, because over at Brother Justice, we ditched corn. We process only malted barley to make our whiskey. We make single malt.
And so you've got a couple different varieties that you make. Let's let's get into it. What is this one I've got here in my hand?
Sure, yeah. So the first one that we always have people try, we call single malt silver whiskey. It's 100% malted barley, mashed, fermented, then distilled, briefly kissed on oak, so it can be called whiskey, but it's perfectly clear. Really is going to shine in a cocktail, but I love having people try it because it gives you a feeling for what malted barley brings to the table. Malted barley has the most complex sugar profile of any grain, and that results in a more complex flavor. With corn, it's mostly very simple sugar. You get a lot of alcohol. It's also very affordable, so it's really it's a cheap grain, so it's really affordable to make alcohol out of it. With barley, you get a little less yield, but you get a lot more flavor, which is why we focused on single malt.
Oh, man.
It's a northern grain.
That's tasty.
That's really good. I'm not much of a, as you know, I'm not much of a whiskey guy.
You're not.
That's quite tasty, though.
Yeah, that's smooth with a V.
Does it make you make the whiskey face?
You've had white whiskeys, moonshine, white lightning, white dog, raw make.
Yeah, it's usually not.
This is not really in the same wheelhouse. That's
no,
why
really
we call
isn't.
It silver whiskey, because it's designed for flavor, not to get you rip roaring drunk.
And I can see that working really well in a lot of different styles of cocktails too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's been really fun about it. It was kind of a happy accident along the way. We didn't want to make an unaged product. We're all about classic whiskey, but along the way we realized that we had this opportunity to kind of push the bounds, especially in cocktails, because that's popular with the kids these days.
Sure.
So you want to have that option. So yeah, the silver whiskey, it has fruity notes, it's got herbal notes, it's got some unique flavors that play really well in all kinds of cocktails, whether they're citrusy based for the summer or even cocktails like warmers or ones that need normally an aged spirit to stick up to, because it's got a little more body. You can even make like old-fashioned Manhattans out of it for a unique spin on it. Also, do not try a Bloody Justice, because you will never want a normal Bloody Mary again. It's that good.
A Bloody Justice. That's a great name. Do you have a favorite or personally your preferred cocktail to make with the silver whiskey?
Well, I think the one that gets me in the most trouble is one that's based on pineapple juice. Pineapple juice, lemon, a little bit of sugar, the silver whiskey, and then I like to make it with a little bit of cherry bark vanilla bitters, because the vanilla and the pineapple kind of make it into like a pineapple cake. And it shakes, so it froths up with the pineapple. That one is dangerous.
It sounds like something you give a sorority girl. I call this the pineapple upside down trouble.
It almost could work at the state fair, even.
Yeah, well, man.
Definitely simple is better for silver whiskey cocktails. It has so many flavors that just one or two ingredients will really make for an amazing cocktail. Whether you
like
pineapple,
that's got a ton of flavor just on its own. It doesn't really need anything.
I always like to tell people, this is what barley brings, these complex sugar profiles that result in complex flavors. There's fruity notes, but we didn't add any fruit. There's a sweetness, but we didn't add any sugar.
You got time to stick around for one more segment? A couple more minutes?
Yeah, I got time right now, for sure.
Okay, yeah, we'll break a little bit early here, and we'll knock out the next segment as well. You're listening to the Minnesota Beercast, recording from Cigar Jones in Minnetonka. We'll be right back. Minnesota Beercast at Cigar Jones in Minnetonka. This is a wonderful spot to come in and enjoy a nice cigar. They've got the sampling area. You can buy it. You can smoke it right here on site. Always a great group of people hanging out. We'll talk with one of the guys from Cigar Jones. Mike's going to join us in the next couple of segments. They've got a fantastic event to help veterans coming up here next week that you're going to want to hear about. A good barbecue, good cigar. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Why don't we record here every week?
You know what? We could do that.
I mean, it's not. I'm gonna see. I'm gonna talk to Mike between segments.
I'm game.
Because we can't.
It could be our home base.
We can't smoke cigars in the studio. At least I've tried. You've kicked me every time I've tried to light up a cigar, and so.
It's a true story.
You're like, no, stop it. I'm like, what? I don't know. I'm digging this. I'm digging this setup here. This is nice.
We left off talking about Brother Justice, single malt silver whiskey, which as someone who is not necessarily a whiskey aficionado, I got to say I'm a big fan of. You also brought your American whiskey. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's right. So this is our flagship. This is the one that we started the distillery. This is the one that we spent about 3 years in R&D perfecting before we wanted to sell a single drop. Single malt American whiskey. So it's a brand new style that's emerging. Single malt means it's 100% malted barley, like scotch, but we age it in brand new American oak casks every single time. That's the American part. Think bourbon, rye whiskey. It's aged in a brand new barrel. It's got all the oils and sugars of the wood, all the flavors, really packs a punch. And by marrying the complexity of single malt with the raw power of a brand new American oak barrel, you end up with a unique American whiskey that likes have never been seen before, because for years it's all been bourbon, it's all been corn. Corn in a brand new barrel makes some great whiskey. But up here in Minnesota, the climate's a lot different, a little more similar to Scotland. So we view the northern grain barley compared to the southern grain corn as a better expression of Minnesota's terroir, honestly.
Talk a little bit about, because we were discussing before we started the show, some of the flavors, and you started to talk about how the climate in Minnesota really impacts the flavors of your whiskey.
Right.
You use all Minnesota ingredients, right?
That's right.
And yeah, we'll talk about that. I mean, what makes Minnesota ingredients and the climate here differentiate itself from your traditional whiskeys that you would get from Kentucky
right,
or Tennessee?
Sure, yeah. Well, you have to look at the elements of whiskey. So first up, you have your grain. Barley is a northern grain and offers a different flavor profile. Grows better up here in Minnesota. It's actually now growing more in North Dakota and Canada because of the growing trends. But then you have your water. In Minnesota, we are blessed with some amazing water. You always hear Kentucky talk about how they have high calcium and low iron. Well, the same is true in Minnesota.
Yeah.
We've got great water. It's perfect for brewing and therefore perfect for distilling. The third element is oak. So oak trees grow all across the U.S., but at the farther north you go, the less and less you find them. It turns out one of the most northern places that oak trees grow naturally is in Minnesota. We've got a little oak savanna that branches in between the coniferous and deciduous, or the plains and the deciduous forests in the north. This little strip, and these trees grow so slowly, because it's so gosh darn cold up here, that they end up with a unique flavor profile. The guys that make them, probably for marketing, told us that the trees have the highest vanillin content, the vanilla flavor, of any American-grown white oak from right here in Minnesota.
I couldn't, and just as you were saying that, I was smelling this American whiskey, and that was the first smell that I caught was
it's a
strong vanilla.
It's potent. Vanilla, caramels, toffees. It has a very unique flavor combination that most whiskeys you just won't find. And, you know, most whiskeys are going to be Missouri or Texas-grown oak because it's warmer, they grow a lot faster. But up here in Minnesota, the trees grow a lot slower, and giving them more chances to be packed with some of those flavors that we look for.
What cooperage do you guys work with? You want to give them a shout out?
Yeah, the main one is the Barrel Mill in Avon, Minnesota. That's Stearns County, same place where St. John's Abbey is, where Brother Justice was making whiskey stills almost 100 years ago. And they do amazing work. I used to sell equipment before I got into distilling, and we sold a few different kinds of barrels, and by far, the Barrel Mill barrels were the best I've seen.
That's pretty neat. Impactful. Keeping it in Stearns County, keeping it really kind of true to the Brother Justice roots,
man. It just
roots,
worked
man.
Out that way.
That's
you know?
Cool.
We wanted to make the best whiskey we could, and we looked out and we said, well, let's try different grains. Oh, Rar Malting in Shakopee. That's one of the world's largest malting facilities. Turns out they make some really great grain. The Barrel Mill has been around for 100 years and makes some of the most perfect barrels I've ever seen. They're also about twice the cost as the cheaper Missouri barrels. But in the name of great whiskey, we're footing that bill to make sure that we can make the best whiskey we can.
You talked about how you spent about, 3 years?
Yes, about 3 years.
Kind of perfecting your recipe before you opened up. What was that process like? And how many variations of this whiskey did you sample before you settled on this particular recipe?
I mean, it was
recipe?
At least like 12, if not more. You know, there were some that probably didn't get officially counted in the running. If TTB is listening, we reported the proof gallons distilled.
Too many pineapple upside down troublemakers.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great name, actually. The first step was figure out the mashing and distillation process we wanted to use. We landed on a reflux column hybrid still, which gives a better separation than your traditional pot.
That's
still.
What I would have gone with.
It's what most of the guys are going with now, yeah.
I have no idea what that means. I was just playing along.
Yeah, it means it has plates so that as the the liquid is distilled into a vapor, it has a chance to be...
It separates the different levels.
Yeah, exactly, because it hits each plate, leaving more and more behind, so you only pull out the flavors you want. It's a unique talking point. So the way to start a distillery is you get a bank loan, you finally get to open your doors and turn on your still after you get the approval, and then you have bills to pay. You have to start turning out some vodka or gin, something that you can start paying your bills
with. Something clear and quick, right?
Exactly. And a lot of those guys probably want to make whiskey, but it's just a matter of how do you keep the doors open until your whiskey can age out.
Hence the proliferation of white whiskey that's so very common, right?
Yeah, I'm sure that's part of it. Yeah, absolutely. But so we wanted to go a different route. We said, what we really care about is whiskey. Like, let's just keep our costs as low as we can, try not to take on debt, and just focus on making the best whiskey we can. Drink our own mistakes, which is a pretty fun prospect, honestly. Because the first whiskeys weren't really that bad, you know, but they weren't exceptional. They didn't stand out. We had picked a grain. We had settled on a process. We put it in some Missouri oak.
Sure.
It was kind of lifeless. You know, I said, this is okay, but is it something I'm going to write home about? No, it's nothing unique. So we tried some different grains. We're making more flavors in our whiskey that we hadn't had previously. It's getting more distinct. And we said, this wood just isn't doing anything. You know, it's so normal. It's every other whiskey has these same flavors. So we decided to foot the bill and buy the twice as expensive barrel mill barrels. And as my boss likes to say, as the founder likes to say, the barrel kicked our whiskey's ass. Our whiskey couldn't stand up to the crazy flavor profile. So we went all the way back to the drawing board from day one, picking new grains, changing out the processes, changing out how we run the still and what cuts we make to be able to make a whiskey that could be tailor-made to this barrel. It was a long, long and crazy experience, honestly. And if you've ever been a part of a startup, lots of sleepless nights, lots of stress-induced bodily effects. But I survived to be here today. And the other day, we went to an event, and someone had written up a sign that said, Brother Justice, a successful startup. And I said, what? Never seen that word next to our name before.
An overnight success that only took 3-4 years in the making.
Right, exactly. But now, you can find... the aged whiskey, at least, in about 90 liquor stores. The silver whiskey is only in about 10 or so. We actually only started distributing that about a month ago because it's not what we're about. The aged whiskey is what we're about, so that's the one that we really push out into the market everywhere.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. Do you guys have the tasting room like so many places are doing, or are you really just focusing on the store market side of things?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, we spent so much time learning how to make great whiskey that we didn't really spend a whole lot of time learning how to make great cocktails. So we have a sampling room, not a cocktail room. The difference there is that I can't sell you a shot of whiskey in our space. I have to give it to you for free.
Oh, so how do I get there?
Yeah, that's right.
Tell people where you're looking.
Yeah, if you're in Northeast Minneapolis, we're at 451 Taft Street in the basement. So that's roughly Hennepin and Stinson. It's the Strong Scott building, this big industrial building. And on the side of it, there's an unmarked door. We did put up a little sign with our name. And you go in the door and you have to follow signs through this maze of hallways. And the part that always gets people is you get to the stairs. This scary, kind of scary looking staircase.
It's a lot of trouble to get a free drink.
It is, yeah. It is. It's a free drink, though. But yes, you have to follow these stairs down to this basement. And everyone, as they're at this point, he's just saying, there's no way I'm in the right place. I follow the signs, but I don't believe this. This can't be. And you open the door, and there's this big sign, Brother Justice Distillery with open doors, wall-to-wall barrels, big copper still in the middle. It's a distillery like no other because, I mean, it's in a basement. It's tiny, and because of that, it has a very intimate experience.
Mm-hmm.
So people often ask us, do you offer tours? I'm like, well, if you come into the place, you've already gotten the tour because there's three of us. If you walk up to the bar, more than likely you're talking to one of the distillers or the founder, and we'll tell you all about the story and all about the process, and the big copper still is right there, right behind us. So.
And that people can swing by on like Fridays and Saturdays, you had mentioned?
Yeah, the hours are Friday and Saturday, 12 to 4.
Okay.
Since we don't sell you shots, we don't have very long hours.
Sure, sure. So it's Brother Justice, and that's J-U-S-T-U-S. not the traditional spelling of justice, if you're looking it up. Do you have a website, a Facebook page, anything you want
to... Yeah, brotherjustice.com. We've got Brother Justice Whiskey Company on Facebook and Justice Whiskey on Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely check us out.
Yeah, please do. Your whiskey's fantastic, and thank you so much for making the trek over here to Cigar Jones and joining us.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. I can't wait to have a cigar with the whiskey, and it's going to go really great together.
Yeah, they pair very well. Thanks, guys.
All right. All right, buddy. Take care. And we'll be back with more from the Cigar Jones edition of the Minnesota Beercast. Stick around. All right, welcome back to the Minnesota Beercast Cigar Jones edition. Big thanks to the guys at Cigar Jones for having us out. We were discussing, Schmitty and I, during the break. Why don't we just record here every week?
I know.
There's no reason not to.
It's so comfortable here.
It is.
We got Mike from Cigar Jones. We got a good buddy that we haven't talked to in quite a while, Drew Emmer, joining us. How you doing?
I'm great.
Thanks
nice to be
Drew's
here.
With
thank
Boveda.
You.
Boveda.
Boveda. I never pronounce that right. Boveda, Boveda.
I don't mind how you pronounce it as long as you say our name.
I've been using those products for years, and I still mispronounce it almost every time. But since we mentioned it, I want to bring it up real quick. Tell the listeners what Boveda is.
Boveda was started 22 years ago to solve a problem keeping cigars fresh. And it's a self-contained humidity control product that you don't have to do any maintenance on. Mike introduced me to it upstairs in the shop, put a Boveda in my bag of cigars when I was walking out the door, generously gave me one, and I said, "What's this?" And Mike said the magic words, "You'll never recharge your humidor again." And I'd like heard a choir in heaven. I just had such an emotional reaction to it, because if you're trying to keep your cigars in good shape, it's tough, man. You got to always be tinkering with your humidor. So I fell in love with the product, and then at the time where we're doing this recording right now used to be the headquarters of Boveda. And so I came down and met the owner, and next thing you know, I'm working with them. So it's just a great company. They're dedicated to helping people enjoy their passion, whether it's cigars or guitars or cannabis. We keep everything fresh. So that's the short story on Boveda.
I want to give a shout-out to you guys' YouTube channel. It has come to life in the last couple of years. You've got a ton of great cigar content on the Boveda
YouTube
channel.
Rob Gagne does a great job with Box Press, the podcast that we do. He's had some of the absolute stars of the industry on that show. Recorded it all over the place, including down here in the in Cigar Jones.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a fantastic product. I used to have a humidor, and you know, every couple months you got to go in there, check the humidity, get the distilled water, do all that, keep it up, you know. And since I got the Boveda humidor, the clear plastic humidor from you guys, I don't worry about it anymore. Just, you know, I check the packs every so often, make sure they're still working, and replace them when needed. It's so
simple. Keeping it fresh.
Yeah, it's
do you
great.
Guys sell a humidor now?
Yeah, we have a few accessories that we sell in addition to the packs, but we're mostly selling packs. The acrylic humidor that Andrew's talking about can be found on our website at BovedaInc.com.
You know, we talk about cigars being fresh. Boveda actually is the best product to age your cigars. Cigars are like wine, so you know, the older they get, it smooths them out a little bit and just makes them really good, and you can age them with the Bovedas. A lot of people think fresh is the best. Well, sometimes with fresh cigars, you got a little bitterness and stuff going on, where Boveda is the best product for aging.
Just like spirits,
that's
you know.
Right.
I mean, there's something to be said for nice fresh spirits, but there's something also to be said for letting it age.
Yeah, very true.
All right, we want to talk about you. You've got an amazing event coming up here at Cigar Jones, coming up on Friday the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Cigarbecue. To benefit Cigars for Warriors, Friday, August 16th, coming up. Tell us a little bit about this event and what went into deciding to go forward with this.
Well, you know, Cigars for Warriors, Operation Cigars for Warriors, kind of came around because the manufacturers aren't allowed anymore to just provide cigars to our troops protecting our country abroad. And so they came about, so now it's up to us, the retailers, to collect cigars from the consumers, and ship them off to them, and they distribute them all over the world. So it's a real, real nice deal. It really is.
And you guys are doing an event to help support that project, to help support Operation Cigars for Warriors. It is Cigarbecue. I'm struggling with
that.
Right.
It's
a
great name. Well, we got Eric Kleinberg, who's got the biggest smoker you've ever seen. I mean, this thing's on a trailer. It looks like a locomotive. It really does. I mean, it's huge, and we're smoking ribs all day. We'll have sausages. It's a sausage party.
It's a sausage fest, yeah. It'll be great. And Bobit has been a supporter of Cigars for Warriors from the get-go. Every cigar that gets shipped into the Middle East, where most of these deployed soldiers are, they're all protected with Bobita. We've just had a great relationship with them. They do so much for the spirit of the troops in the field. These guys are sending pictures and putting stuff on social showing how they're touched by the generosity of people that donate a cigar. Mike, what's the skinny on the Cigarbecue? You pay a price and you get some cigars, or what are you doing?
You get four of our house blend cigars that you can only get from Cigar Jones, which is wonderful. We'll talk about that if you want.
I love those cigars.
And we'll donate one to the troops for the Cigars for Warriors, which is nice. $49.95, get you some ribs, get you some cigars, a nice donation, and you can hang out all day and enjoy everything that Cigar Jones has. You
know. What are the hours of the event again on the 16th? Cigarbecue here at Cigar Jones.
That's right.
And you get, for $49, you get ribs, you get cigars. And what are the hours again?
You know, Eric will be here probably starting at, what, 3,
5
in the morning?
Yeah, he said he'd have, he said the meat would be falling off the bone by 11:30 or 12. So you could come here for lunch, hang out, have a cigar. If you want to finish your day here, enjoy a cigar and eat some of that succulent meat that Eric's going to be putting out. That'd be just awesome.
So basically going on all day.
All day.
All day Friday.
All day long.
Yeah. All right, that's going to be really cool. We'll share this information on our social media channels, on the Minnesota Beercast Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the outlets.
You've got to come out here.
We'll make sure that that this gets out there, because it's a really good cause. I mean, anytime you know, you can send the troops a little taste of home, you know, a little guilty pleasure, you know, a couple cigars. It's always really appreciated.
Yeah.
And who doesn't like barbecue? I mean,
right? Come
on.
Well, he does an amazing dry rub, and he'll have a couple of different ones to try out. But we're doing like 50 some racks of ribs. We'll have, you know, a dozen pounds of sausage. It's really going to be a good time. Some great cigars too.
Yeah, it's a cool event, and thanks for letting us come out here and help promote it. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, sure.
I'll be sure to swing by. I thought I was going camping that weekend, but I was wrong. I'm not going
camping. Cancel your camping trip and come to Cigarbecue.
Okay. My wife will be thrilled. we were talking with Brother Justice Whiskey, and we got a few whiskeys out if you guys want to sample them. They're fantastic. It's a new, relatively new distillery open up in Northeast Minneapolis. Whiskey and cigars are kind of a classic pairing, right?
Yes, they are.
Why? What is it about whiskey and cigars that makes them go so well together, in your opinion?
You know, a lot of it's the smokiness. The smoke goes together with the cigars, obviously, because of the smoke. And I was telling Schmitty when he was picking out his cigar that, you know, one of the cigars we carry is a Kentucky Fire Cured. It's made by Drew Estate. And they actually cure the tobacco over a campfire, which is pretty amazing. And it pairs great with a real peaty scotch. So if you like that, stop in, try the Kentucky Fire Cured. It'll be great. Other than that, you know, the Habano seed wrapper's got some nice spice to it. San Andreas cigar wrapper has got some nice sweetness to it, so it might be better with a little bourbon maybe. Cigars pair great with it. A lot of people.
Can you give us a little cigar pairing? And Drew, I can't see the time, but maybe it's something best for next segment. But maybe
let's do that.
I want to, when we come back on next segment, maybe you can give us a little cigar pairing 101, because that's one of the things I always struggle with, is knowing how best to pair my cigar with the experience I want to have with maybe whatever I'm enjoying it with. So maybe let's tease that and come back after this. You're listening to the Minnesota Beercast on AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
All right, we are back. Final segment of this week's edition of the Minnesota Beercast at Cigar Jones in Minnetonka, right at the corner of Minnetonka Boulevard and 101. One of my favorite places to be, one of my favorite places to hang out. It's just got a great vibe. You know, it's always just good people hanging out, and you can buy a cigar, you can sample it and enjoy it right there in the shop. Play a little cribbage.
That's right.
If so inclined, that tends to be my number one activity here.
We have all those great games up there.
Yeah, Mike, any plans on opening another store over on the East Metro? Anything in St. Paul anytime soon?
You know, it's real hard in Minnesota to kind of, you know, open up cigar stores because, you know, the smoking indoors is a big thing, and you can't smoke anywhere. You can't smoke cigarettes indoor anywhere in Minnesota, but you can smoke cigars because you're not actually smoking cigars, you're sampling the tobacco. And cigars are one of those things where, you know, you got to smoke the whole thing because it's very complex and they're changing the whole time through. So, and you can smoke in a tobacco shop cigars for the purpose of sampling. That's what it is. And of course it has to be okay with the building owner.
Sure.
And most of the revenue that comes in the store has to be from the sale of cigars.
Makes sense. So it's a It sounds like a lot like the things we talk about on a regular basis, the beer and the wine and the spirits, where there's a lot of hoops to jump through. They don't make it as easy as possible to really expand your business always.
That's right. Yeah, this is one of the things that frustrates me about this state is, and the laws around cigars and things like that, is I would like nothing more than, especially in the winter, you know, to have a bar, you know, a place that I could go and have a cigar, enjoy a beer or cocktail, watch a sporting event, watch a football game, watch a baseball game, something like that. And it's, you know, it's kind of illegal.
Well, the beer and the cocktail thing would be a problem at my school.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's kind of a ridiculous little confluence of laws that forbid me, you know, grown adult, from going somewhere and having a cigar and having a cocktail and maybe even a bite to eat.
But they're protecting
God
you
forbid
from,
you mix those things.
But you're not trustworthy. They're protecting you from yourself.
I know. I mean, even as I'm saying that, I'm realizing what a terrible idea it is and how thankful I am for
you
the
really
government.
Should didn't do that
for preventing me from my own ills and my own vices.
Right. Yeah, I trust in the wisdom of Brother Justice and answering to a higher power like he did.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And speaking of Brother Justice, that's the spirit that we enjoyed earlier in the show, and I asked Mike for his expertise in pairing a cigar with it.
Is this one mine?
Yeah, you can have that one.
What's the story behind Brother Justice?
So Brother Justice was a monk who actually helped create the stills that were distributed throughout Minnesota to create the famous Minnesota 13 whiskey during Prohibition. So that was the inspiration for the brand. Let's tell folks the cigar that you recommended to pair with the whiskey.
Well, that's the Wise Man. It's made by Foundation Cigar.
Mm-hmm.
Foundation, the owner of Foundation was started up with Drew Estate and Acid Cigars back in like 99 and 2000. He split off from the company, started his own brand, Foundation, which is only a few years old. And, you know, the number three cigar of the year, Foundation, got some nice bite. How's it taste for you?
It tastes great. I like it a lot. You know, it's I wouldn't say that it's aggressive by any means, but you can tell that it's not a one-note char.
Yeah,
right?
It starts off a little peppery on the palate, but smooths out as you smoke it. You'll fear it's got some great flavor. Nicaragua, I mean, the largest exporter of tobacco right now is from Nicaragua. I know Don Pepin Garcia, who you're smoking that La Promesa. He moved to Nicaragua. He was like the last blender, the last great roller that came out of Cuba. And La Promesa is a promise that he made to his family when he moved to Miami and rolled for Pete Johnson from Tatuaje Cigars. And he started his own factory in Nicaragua, got his family out of there, and man, he is producing some great stuff. He really is.
So,
and his cigars start off a lot really peppery, which is nice.
I'm one of the guys who likes to smoke a cigar start to finish. I will smoke it all the way down till it starts burning my finger and my
Same
lips.
Here.
I enjoy cigars with some people who do not. They'll halfway through, they're done.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, like I said, you have to sample the whole cigar because of the complex flavor. And these guys go into it, it's all about the blending, which is nice in the aging process because it combines the tobacco. They blend together and meld to create nice flavors like woodiness, leather. You get some cinnamon spice, which I love, creaminess, a lot of nutty, woody. You know? Mm-hmm.
So. Is there a good way to decide how to pair a cigar? I mean, you know, you're in the cigar shop every day. You're sampling this stuff. If I'm not the connoisseur that you are, and I want to figure out what to pair with the experience I'm having, be it, you know, a glass of whiskey or a beer, what's the best way?
There
to
isn't a
out?
Bad one. How about that?
Well, and everybody's got a different palate. So the best way, I mean, if I'm a scientist, the best way in my way of thinking is that you'd set out a sampling of the whiskeys that you're interested in. And I'd be very interested in going and trying a Connecticut, a Habano wrapper, a Maduro wrapper, and some of these different higher end. I mean, you're talking about premium spirits, and there's also a number of premium cigars to choose from. And it's all about relaxation and going on an adventure. You're using your olfactory sense, you know, with your sense of smell. You're using your sense of taste. I mean, it's going to be different for everybody, but sure, you got to start somewhere, and you should find a way to try some different things and see what really intrigues you.
For the uninitiated, you know, for the novice, the most obvious indicator of a cigar is the wrapper. That's what you see. It's yep. visible. You've got a lot of different colors. You've got a lot of different styles of wrapper. Can you give us sort of just a 101 of, if you're, you know, giving somebody advice,
sure,
you know, what types of wrappers are generally going to lead to what types of experiences?
Most of the flavor from a cigar comes from the wrapper, the last leaf. And the manufacturers always pull out the best wrapper leaves, the best leaves from the plant. That look nice, that are silky, you know, oily. People like that. It's great for a cigar. But basically, most of the stuff nowadays is a Cuban seed. They make hybrids and stuff now. So you got, you know, if you start from the bottom and go from the mildest, you got a Connecticut shade wrapper. It's literally grown in river valleys up in Connecticut, up in there in the Northeast, and.
And those are lighter in color, right?
It's very light. They actually grow it under, I like to say, a cheesecloth, but I think it's more of an acrylic nowadays to keep the sun off the plant, which keeps it blonde, keeps it smooth, mild. We like to start people off there because the last thing we want to do is start you off with maybe a sun-grown wrapper leaf. You know, sun-growns are going to be top of the plant, grown in the sun, a thick leaf. It's going to be very peppery, stronger. You know, they call that Lajero tobacco. Lajero is a part of the blending process, which gives you the strength to a cigar. So you got that. You got the Connecticut. So you got a Habano wrapper, which is a seed from Cuba that can be grown anywhere. Generally, they like to grow it in the volcanic rich soils of Nicaragua, Ecuador. There's some good ones from the Dominican Republic. And, you know, most people don't know, but most of the cigars that come out of Cuba nowadays are actually Honduran, Nicaragua, Dominican, Ecuadorian tobacco. Nestor Plasencia, who makes our house blend cigar, which is a Nicaraguan sun-grown medium body, very nice cigar. I call it a honey-sweetened graham cracker because it's just got...
That's a good description.
It really is.
So. But generally speaking, you know, for the uninitiated, the lighter the wrapper, the smoother, sort of creamier, mm-hmm. generally,
yeah.
you're going to get. The darker the wrapper, it's going to be a little more aggressive, going to be a little more bold.
Is it similar along the same lines as like a cup of coffee? The darker, the more intense, the more, I guess, extreme the experience? Or is that a misnomer?
If you stick with that, you'll be just fine. I mean, there are cigars, I tell people, don't be afraid of the dark.
No, not at all.
Because it's a dark cigar.
Oh, I like that. Don't be afraid of the dark.
Don't be afraid of the dark. Just because it's a dark cigar doesn't mean it's a strong cigar.
Okay.
It just means that they call it a Maduro wrapper, which means ripe. So I kind of compare it to a banana that's sitting on the counter. You know, if it's sitting there long enough, it turns dark because it's at room temperature and it brings like the sugars to the surface, which is real nice. So the darker wrapper, to me, is a little bit sweeter. My favorite's going to be a Padron.
Mm.
Padron makes the best wrapper leaf out there. It's a Connecticut broadleaf. Now, we talked a little bit about Connecticut. Mm-hmm. So broadleaf Connecticut is going to be, it's kind of they call it a squat plant. It's smaller. They usually, they turn the plant upside down, and it's stock cut. So they don't prime it. Priming means they'd start at the bottom, pull the leaves off one at a time, and let the rest kind of cure. But when you stalk cut it, it lets the oils from the plant kind of drip down the plant to the bottom, which is nice. So you get that nice, oily, sweet goodness.
So, Mike, a lot of people will conflate strength with flavor. Can you talk a little about, since Andrew's talking about the novice having a sense, strength and flavor aren't necessarily the same thing. A strong cigar and a flavorful cigar can be two very different things.
Well, strong cigars to me are ones that aren't aged as much. So they're kind of green, I'd like to say, not green in color, but just they're put out to production much faster. So you get that high. The nicotine is a natural thing that's in cigars, but the longer they're aged, it ages out, which smooths it out and brings the flavors to the top. So
okay. When
people say, you know, I don't want to smoke that, it's too strong for me, and I say, you know what? Strength really has nothing to do with it, other than if it's a newer tobacco plant that's been released as opposed to one that's aged. So it's more about the flavors that kind of develop throughout it. So I say, instead of strength, I say it's more flavorful. You know, so then you get that from start to finish, like a Padron, which we talked about, or the Wise Man, which you're smoking.
So it's in maybe it's relatable in like beer parlance to folks who would have like a barrel aged beer, where it's at some point a little too warm with the alcohol and it's got to sit and age for a little while. Mm-hmm. It's the flavor is good, it's still, like you said, a little too green. It's got to sit for a bit.
Yeah, I know that Romeo and Julieta makes the Reserva Real, which is an Ecuadorian grown Connecticut wrapper, so it's very, very mild and smooth. It's got that. To me, I tell people it's all about food, so I tell people it's a sweet, creamy peanut butter. And I know there's a couple of peanut butter stouts out there that are pretty good. And man, that cigar would pair perfectly.
What cigar was that again?
It's the Romeo and Julieta Reserva Real. Love
right,
it.
I'm going to write that bad boy down.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are some,
I like me a peanut butter stout.
Plus, it's a super reasonable cigar.
I had one last night. I was at Excelsior Brewing out in Excelsior. They have a peanut butter cup stout, which, I mean, it tastes exactly like a peanut butter cup.
Yeah.
And the first thing I thought of was that Romeo Real, which I grabbed out of my truck, went and sat on their patio, and I'm telling you, it's the perfect pairing.
Nice. Well, Mike, thank you so much, man. It's a
You're
great
welcome.
Conversation.
Happy to come.
Always love chatting cigars, and always love coming to Cigar Jones, so really appreciate you.
It's been a real education. I really
Absolutely.
Enjoyed sitting down and talking cigars with you and really enjoying the whiskey pairing as well. Can we come back some time and talk about the house cigars you guys have here?
Absolutely. You can only get them here at Cigar Jones, so stop in anytime. It's our best-selling cigar in the store. I smoke them every day. I got one lit right now. Absolutely.
How do you get here?
Drew from Bovada, thank you so much for swinging by, man. Always great to see you.
Thanks, guys.
We'll be back next week with a brand new edition of the Minnesota Beercast. Cheers.
This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow.